Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on my Facebook channel, Willa White Medium, and also through blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. So I am starting year 4 of my podcast show. I've done this for 3 years running, and this is year 4, season 4, if you like. And it's really exciting to be able to say that. I can't believe how fast the time has gone, and so many of you have been along the journey with me. And I typically have a special guest on the show, and we talk about a spiritual topic as it relates to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And it's just kind of an organic conversation that evolves. And sometimes I fly solo, today being the season premiere, as it were, of year 4, I wanted it just to be you and me together. And I really appreciate everybody who has supported and followed my show over the years. For those of you who are just discovering my show for the first time today, please know that you can look at the archived videos of past shows that I have done over the past 3 years. There have been a lot of great shows, great guests. I've been very loved and supported by people. And there are all kinds of different spiritual topics that you can go back and listen to the conversations and perhaps learn something, or maybe it'll help you to have another question that will take you further along in your own spiritual journey. So a little background about the show, especially for the ones that are finding me for the first time. This was a show, Lilydale asked me to do a show for them, and I hesitated because I don't tend to want to be in the limelight in any way, shape, or form. And I said, well, this is how I want to do it. I want to be able to have this be a spiritual conversation with people. And I want this to be how my show that I develop and ask people to come on to, and I get to have that organic conversation unfold. And I think it's been really wonderful and really successful. And that's why I'm willing to do another year of Wednesdays with Willa. So maybe those of you who have watched the show before can leave in the comments, what was your favorite show, or do you have some favorites that you go back and watch again, or do you have some things that you really learned in the years of watching Wednesdays with Willa? Or maybe you just found me over the summertime and we're catching up on shows. I have people who contact me and tell me that they binge watch the show, so it's really wonderful. So as I said, this airs live on my Facebook page, which is Willa White Medium, and you can like and share and follow, and then you'll get updated as to when I go live, when I have my shows, what topics. I usually try to post in advance who my guests will be and a little bit about the topic we'll be covering for that particular week. And if you can't catch me live, you can always go back and click on that post or click on that archive video, and you'll be able to play and watch it in your own time. As I realize, everybody's on a different schedule, but this is a time that works best for me and my particular family. So I have been a registered medium since 2003, and I have just completed my 18th summer as a registered medium. And before that, I was a full-time medium before becoming registered. So I've been a medium for many, many, many years. And I grew up in a family that was very supportive of mediumship and of spiritual experiences. I've had my mother and my father both have been on the show as guests, and you can get to know them through the shows if you wish. And I'm really blessed to be here in Lilydale and learn from some really great teachers and mentors. And I've had those on my show as well. And a lot of great friends and acquaintances in this beautiful community. So Lilydale is a spiritualist community. It's the world's largest center for the religion of spiritualism. And there are many facets to that religion. But I will say we believe in God. We believe that God is all there is. And we do believe and understand and know that there's more to this reality than just this particular vision we're sharing with people on the earth plane, that there are spirit planes and other dimensional realities that we're able to connect with, and that love never dies, and that we have our souls and we do continue on. And there is proof of continuity of life, and that exploration, that spiritual exploration, is absolutely possible through the gifts of the spirit. So their mediumship and healing are examples of gifts of the spirit. So I just wanted again to give you a little bit of a synopsis of those things. So today I'm going to be talking about the joy of discovery. And those of you who know me know that I love books. I love the soul. I love traveling. And they all kind of combine for me. And I've like to think I put my own unique spin on my life experiences, but I have to give credit to all those that have gone before us in exploration, in spiritual exploration, the things that have gotten us to where we are today. And I teach my children, and I learn as I teach them about different things having to do with history and of the soul. And one of the things that we're exploring in our homeschool, as it were, is the understanding of explorers and how they found different lands and how that all came to be. Not just Columbus, although Columbus has his own interesting history. And when I set this topic, I wasn't thinking about how the fact next week is Columbus Day. But it's the idea of that voyage of discovery that we're all on. And there is something within mankind, in humankind, that really wants to see beyond themselves. It's one of the reasons why we can't just stay in our own little homes all the time. It's that place in us that has to go out and discover and take a walk in nature or be around other people, or that idea of the discovery of what's out there beyond us. So we're going to focus on that joy of discovery of the external world, and we'll also focus today on the joy of the internal world, because there's a balancing act that has to go on within us, no matter whether it's COVID times or regular times. This is very much part of our world. So we have different explorers that we've been studying, not just Columbus, but Amerigo Vespucci, which is where we get the name America. So they named America after him. He actually did a lot in terms of Central America and South America. And they said, oh, well, let's just include him with the North America as well. And it's because he did a lot of the writing. You know, a lot of times history is all about who's writing, of course, and who gets the most airtime. But he was the one who said that this is not just India. This is, we have discovered a new continent. And for people to have those kinds of ideas, sometimes people have to have those discussions of what is beyond what we know, because we have what's known and we have the unknown. And to some extent, there's this little place that's the unknowable, that's not for us to know at this particular time. But let's just talk in terms of discovery of new worlds, those new worlds that were going on. People have thought the world was flat. If you just kept going, there goes the waterfall. And those of you who follow me know I was just in Niagara Falls, and I just can't imagine that would be the end of the world. The end of the world would just be a mass of the Horseshoe Falls and the Bridal Veil Falls, and it would just sort of continue. But that was what people, they couldn't have the concept in their minds of the roundness. So, you know, it took time for people to come to that place. And one of the reasons I decided to talk about this topic is because my my older son, he's supposed to write an essay about what it was like for Balboa, the explorer Balboa, to see the Pacific Ocean for the first time. So Balboa is credited with discovering the Pacific Ocean. He was in the Isthmus of Darien, which later became known as Panama, which is where the Panama Canal was later constructed. But he had heard that there was gold on the shores, and of course back then those conquistadors, it was all about the gold and what they could bring back. But can you imagine, you go through and you find this vast ocean. The Pacific Ocean is so large, so vast, that it is half of the world's oceans, the waters. So to go to its shores and be the first one to see that in among people who are going to actually record this and then talk about this and share this with the whole, you know, rest of the known world, that's a big deal. And I didn't want an essay from my son that just said, oh, look at the pretty water and I see some dolphins. I wanted him to explore what was it like to have that view for the first time and to go, wow, there isn't more land. This isn't India. This is more ocean. This is declarative that there's something beyond. And that's how it is when we're exploring any idea of ourselves. There's something more than just this piece of land. There's something beyond. You know, here we have Lake Erie. Frequently, I like to go over Lake Erie. It's got those nice crashing waves. They're really good at clearing off big energy. And you can just see the very hint of Canada from certain places on the shores of Lake Erie. But you go to the Pacific Ocean and you're not seeing the other side. There's nothing to be seen out there. And when you think about the travelers that have gone before us, not just the Marco Polos that went and explored Asia and reported back, but you know, James Cook. Now, some of these explorers, they're very controversial, and I'm not going to talk about that controversy today. That's not what we're focused on. We're focused on the joy of discovery. I mean, James Cook, he's a man who mapped out the entrance to the St. Lawrence River. He was in New Zealand. He's the man who first went into the Antarctica, that circle there. I mean, he explored so much. And there has to be something in a person that says, I want to explore and I want to see what's beyond. And not just for the pursuit of money, but there must be something in a person that says, there's something more and I want to see it. Even if it puts me into peril, even if it could be something devastating, I want to know what's out there. And you also have Star Trek. You know, I was thinking back about that idea of, and I had to look it up because I knew it was, you know, where no man has gone before. But Captain Kirk, 1966 Star Trek, says, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Did you like that voice? It's just that idea of we have to boldly go where no man has gone before. That concept happens within us in terms of our joy that we bring to the day, to boldly go into those ideas, explore them, but also inside of us. And I was thinking back to when I read Jules Verne. How many of you read Jules Verne? You know, The Journey to the Center of the Earth. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. He pretty much went wherever he could in those books. And why is it that books and movies that are adventuresome sell. It's because we want to know what's on the other side. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. You know, there has to be this understanding that there's something more than just what we are seeing with our physical eyes and experiencing with our physical touch. Those five senses that we've been given, there are spirit senses. There's that level of connection with the divine that helps us to pursue our lives in a beautiful way if we let it. We have to know that when we're in that mode of discovery, there is the possibility of mistakes. There's the idea of sometimes it's a baby step to what truth is with a capital T, to understand that there have been other realities we haven't touched into. And so I found a quote by Jules Verne. He wrote, "How many things have been denied one day only to become realities the next?" And I love what this other quote he has. "Science, my boy, is made up of mistakes, but they are mistakes which is useful to make because they lead little by little to the truth." Because sometimes science has a hard time catching up with what we know. And I have often quoted, C.W. Leadbeater, who did meditations, and he was able to explore with Annie Besant, they were theosophists, in meditation, what the arrangement of the elements of the periodic table were, so they could understand the molecular, the atomic structure of these things. And you know, so many times he was correct in going into that hyper-focused, microscopic level of thought and meditation. He was able to identify those structures, and science later confirmed it. I think that's the way it is to some extent with spirit contact, because for some people that's like trying to say mermaids or unicorns, because it's something that's beyond their experience. And that's why personal experience will trump anything anybody else has ever told you. I mean, how many of you out there have had this experience with spirit, and maybe you've tried to explain it or put it into words, but it's almost ineffable, and another person can't clearly understand what has just transpired. The feelings that you have in those moments, that internal confirmation from your own soul of what is going on. So sometimes in the joy of discovery, it's about knowing that that's a personal discovery experience that other people may not be ready to hear about or to understand at that particular moment in time. And that is something that as a parent or watching a child, they're in that constant mode of discovery. Through the years, it's been incredible to watch my children as they've interacted with this physical world and the spiritual world and the beautiful wealth of information and joy that that has brought them. Now, sometimes that discovery in a day is about finding this amazing stick or look at this puddle, Mom. Or, you know, there's this understanding of look at this beautiful arrangement of leaves. Sometimes it's a discovery of the natural world. And that's what is so important, to begin with that natural world, the spiritual world with our children and also with ourselves. So if you are in need of something today, perhaps it's that you're in need of a new discovery, not just what you can get from a computer or from the four walls of your room, but that which is infinitely inward or infinitely outward. We're constantly striving for something. I remember many instances of my children heading toward the stairs when they were just learning how to climb. They hadn't even learned to officially walk yet. And they're heading to the stairs. And there's something in them that says, I must climb these stairs. I must feel what this is like. And it's not about me being carried up those stairs. It's about me going up those stairs. I'm going to make the climb. It's almost like to them, it's their Everest, and they don't even know how to put that into words at that particular point. And it's important for people to have those climbs up those stairs and up those mountains and to discover for themselves what they are truly capable of. And there's such joy. If you ever have watched a little child as they're climbing up those stairs, there's a joy. There's almost like a glee. There's a focused concentration as they're learning how to use their muscles and they're propelling themselves upward. Now, of course, we don't want them to fall back, but that's what parents are for. We've got to, you know, be aware. But they study that pathway intently. Sometimes, you know, they're studying those stairs, finding which way it is best to go up, that they examine those steps and how to take them. There's a joy in the discovery process that a child has. And we need to have that childlike wonder and awe in the other aspects of our life. How do we best support our own spiritual journey? It's by having joy in it, taking joy in those moments of discovery and even the moments of struggle that we have in our life. It's very possible that when we climb those stairways, the physical and the spiritual expansion that we have in those moments can be something that we share with excitement later on with others. Or sometimes it's just to understand that loving power of God exists in our life and supports us. Now, one of the things as a parent that I have believed very strongly in doing is that my children should not climb a tree until they can do it themselves. And what I mean by that is, to boost them up in the tree, they don't necessarily have respect for that experience. And they, of course, want help down. But what if they are supposed to grab hold of those lower branches? I can't reach it, Mom. I can't reach it. You will when it's time. You will when it's time. And I have watched my children, and it's a little bit of struggle. They learn a lot from that. It's a joy of discovery of what their muscles are capable of, what they are capable of, how to achieve balance in the act of what they're doing. And so then there's the day that comes where their muscles are able to pull them up to that first branch, and they're scrabbling with their feet, and they have a monkey moment. All of a sudden they're there, and there's that joy of discovery. Look, Mommy, I'm up in the tree. And they learn respect as they, you know, each time they're going to go farther on the branches possibly. And you guide them a bit, but it's important for them to have that journey and the joy of discovery. Mommy, I'm taller than you. Mommy, look what I can see. And sometimes sharing with another person that joy of discovery of what you have found to be in your life or in your spiritual experiences. That's what's so special about Lilydale. And when we're in development circles or when we're in classes, we're able to share about spiritual experiences, the joy of discovery. Even if there are questions about what we're achieving and experiencing, there's a joy of discovery that's going on in those moments. And in the joy of discovery is a playfulness and an ability. You have to have the ability to adapt to the circumstances, to embrace a different aspect of yourself until you become comfortable with it. So there are two main components, to understanding yourself as a soul and your mediumship or your healing, and that is to have right practice and right intention. And so when we have those two main ingredients, a lot of success happens. And so that's why if you're wondering, why am I struggling in this world? Why am I having this difficulty? Perhaps it's because you need to get into that joy of discovery mode, that idea of I will look beyond what my five senses are showing me. I will go and I will have a discovery within myself, within a meditation, or I will take a walk in nature and discover whatever it is out there. Now, the other thing, you know, I draw a lot about from things, from my own experiences, from the experiences of others. We can learn by other people's discoveries. So we have other people's discoveries and we have our own discoveries to learn from. And sometimes those discoveries lead us to different things. So whereas certain explorers would find different parts of the world, we are going to find different parts of our world. So we have this ability to do this. I've noticed in terms of my own mediumship that when I'm doing something out of joy, things flow, things go. And there's a connection with God that supports that experience. And by and large, that is what it has been throughout all these decades of being a medium and helping people connect with their loved ones in spirit. And that's what people notice about readings with me and with other mediums as well, that there is this positive direction, this positive, joyful discovery that is being made in a reading or in a message, a spirit message that is there. We have the discovery, the unfoldment of the soul, and that we are all souls. And so we do have that ability in our own spiritual journey of discovery to help other people along their journey and along their journey of discovery and into their joy of discovery. And I'm excited that all of you are back with me again. And I'm seeing the comments, you're ready to discover. What a beautiful thing to affirm. I am ready to discover. I accept new discoveries from the divine. And I feel that in the depth of my soul that when we're in that space, that positively onward, upward direction, that we find joy in that. And that perhaps we feel pressure from ourselves in terms of that discovery. We might say, well, you know, I feel like unless I can bring back these goods to Spain, no one will believe me or no one will support my journey. And it gets to be where you want that journey to be for you and for what you can have in your own personal experience. I look at those things symbolically, this idea that what are the expectations other people have of your particular journey that perhaps are holding you back from having joy in the discovery of your moment? Because you're thinking, this is what I need to be able to bring back to somebody else. But if you're obsessing about all those little pieces of information, it can shut us down, it can freeze us in place, and we're not in discovery mode anymore. And so we have to climb our spiritual summits and examine our pathways, but study it with light, with divine light, and embrace those variations of the journey. And as we try to understand the pattern and the joy that can be there for us, we have to know that we can't be afraid to move at certain points just because of another person's idea of discovery. We have to find that within ourselves, how we want to move forward, how we want to analyze the spiritual lesson that is there for us, how we're going to stop feeling stuck in our lives or pressured and continue onward in our own divine right timing, divine right order. So you always want to go back to those spiritual principles, even that joy of discovery that you have for yourself and with others. And so I would encourage each and every one of you to bring that kind of playful joy to it. It's going to help you to adapt to your circumstances better. It's going to help you to be in that right frame of mind to accept more joy and light. You know, the attitude really does dictate. It is ultimately not about what happens to you. It's how you react to it that dictates the event. And we want to have a good exploration. And when we think in terms of exploration, we're always thinking in terms of point A to point B. Well, sometimes point B moves. And sometimes you realize that point A really wasn't your starting place after all, that it started before, started after what you had originally thought. So there's a shift of time and space that occurs on a spiritual journey. And it's more about those discoveries that we make along the way. And what do you find with all the explorers, whether they be those explorers that I've mentioned, and there are so many more, or Star Trek, when he pretty much has his own journal or diary, they all are writing down, they're recording what's going on. Perhaps that's what you need to do. Keep a record of the joy of discovery that you're having, the instances of understanding that you're having in this external world and in the internal world. You have to know that that journey to the center of the earth could be the journey to the center of yourself. So that all of these are opportunities for you to grow and to truly survey yourself, that internal mapping that is going on within us. And you find different doorways and different rooms within yourself. And then you find countries and whole worlds that evolve from that place. And then you find different dimensions. So it's all very, very possible, especially if you bring that understanding of joy to the occasion. You're going to meet some interesting people along the way. There'll be days that you say, I made it through that day, and other days that you wish would never end. And one of my favorite authors is Florence Shin, and she is a new thought writer. And she wrote a lot during the time of the Great Depression. And I do credit her with a lot of my own understandings of things, because having read her really has helped so enormously my own life in terms of spiritual natural law, the understanding of the spiritual natural law, how to put that into practice in my own life. So I highly recommend Florence Scovel Shin to all of y'all. But I do feel she talks about signs of land. And so when you think about the explorers on ships, who's willing to get on an old ship and, the comforts that we're so used to in the 21st century, indoor plumbing, as many pillows as we want usually, and food, all of that is accessible to us, and we take it so much for granted. How many of you would be willing to go on a wooden ship that has the potential of being taken over by water and storms, or by fire, or by mutiny? And you're lucky if you reach land, and you're looking for signs of land. So back then, they would look for the seaweed or a particular kind of seabirds on their journey of discovery. And once they saw those signs of land, they knew they were getting close. So Florence Scovel Shin, she talks about that seeing those signs of land. I see that in terms of our discovery of ourselves too. So sometimes it's not land that we're seeing. We want land so badly, but first we have to wait for the signs of land within ourselves. And then you know that you're just on the brink of an understanding that is to come, that things are starting to crystallize, that you're about to meet your promised land. That's a wonderful way to put it, the promised land within ourselves, because we have been divinely promised all of that. And we have these journeys within ourselves. When you think back on Siddhartha, Buddha, right? He was a prince who was kept in among the palace, among only things that were beautiful and young, and no issues were allowed to be in front of him by decree of his father, the king. And he escaped from that and went on his own path of discovery. And some of his discoveries were that this world that we live in has only so much it can give us. There's this other uncharted area within us to reach, and that we can do that, whether it's on the world globe or within that internal globe of ourselves. And so subsequently, the Buddha shared stories of having time and space be different than the way we have perceived it. And so we are standing on the shoulders of giants, of those that have gone before us in terms of exploration, in terms of exploration of thought. And we can have joy in what they've experienced and bring to the table, and we can explore that for ourselves joyfully. So I hope that that's what the big takeaway you all get from this joy of discovery, that you start to look at the features of your life, the topography of your life, in a more steady way, a more joyful way, that as you're mapping out your life, that you see that there is the ability to connect with the divine and see purpose in what has gone before so that you're ready for this particular moment, that you can joyfully meet it head on. So it's about getting out of your home space, out of your head space, and moving into the external experience of the world and the internal experience of the world. Whew, so that was a lot to cover in terms of the joy of discovery. There's always going to be something more around the corner to discover that I think is really beautiful when we look at the afterlife. That is very much part of it, life review, and that spiritual progression is eternal and infinite. There's always something more to learn and grow and be. And that is something that actually brings me a lot of peace, but that there's plenty of time to do it. I always feel there's so many books to read and not enough time to do it, right? That gives me peace that at some point I will be able to read all these books, to do all these things, and I can do that in the here and the now, one baby step at a time on the journey. So enjoy it as children would, and with the mature vision of spirit. Whew. So I'm happy to have shared that all with all of you, and I want to get you geared up for the next Wednesdays with Willa. So next week, my guest is Celeste Elliott, and we will be discussing a wonderful topic, which I will post on my Facebook page. So make sure you like and share and follow so that you can get the up-to-date information about the events that are coming on. And then, October 28th, my guest will be Susan Geisman, who is an evidential medium and spiritual teacher. She wrote the piece, The Priest and the Medium, which is about Anne Gaiman, a wonderful, wonderful medium. So I'm so delighted to have Suzanne come on the show. We're going to talk about integrity, ethics, and evidence and mediumship. I've got some other great shows lined up for you. So tune in on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. here on my Facebook page. And have a beautiful week ahead, and may you embrace the joy of discovering your life. Tell me what you discovered. I want to know. All right, lots of love to all of you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Good morning. Welcome.